Praise the Lord. We greet you in the most holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is indeed a solemn assembly as we think of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus, isn't it? And yet, as our brethren already mentioned, it is a great reason to rejoice. And I would like to, by God's grace, bring a little bit of both here before us as I invite us to behold the Lamb of God. As we consider the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for us, His blood that was shed, as we partake of the communion this morning, and those of you who do not partake of the communion this morning, as we all ponder the great salvation that our Lord Jesus brought to us, the great deliverance that He brought to us through His sacrifice on that cross. I would like to take us back a little to the beginning. Take us back to when God created man. God created all things, and behold, it was very, very good. The Bible actually says very good. But back then, there was no sin. There was no need for Jesus to die on the cross until that time. However, something happens in that beautiful place, that place of sweet communion with God, of fellowship with God, of beholding God. Man, by God's goodness, were given two choices, and that was to obey Him and live, or disobey Him and experience death. And sadly, man chose to disobey Him. The woman, being deceived by the serpent, the devil, ate of that forbidden fruit from the tree. And thus sin came into the world, and sin through death had dominion over man since then. But in that context, God came and spoke a few words to man, to the woman, and to Satan, the devil, the serpent. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Salvation had to come. It was promised to come through the seed of the woman. And so one day our Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth in the form of a man. And He, as it was promised, bruised the head of the serpent. And the serpent bruised his heel. Light came into the world, our deliverer, our redeemer. But instead of mankind accepting Him, His own people, influenced by serpent the devil, loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They hated Him. They crucified Him. His body was broken on that cross. His blood was shed for our sins. And thus the Lamb of God was slain for the sins of the whole world. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 and 15 says like this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," that means you and I, we're partakers of flesh and blood of this human body, "He also," our Lord Jesus, "took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Bondage. Man without God, without salvation, are in bondage, enslaved. Satan has enslaved man through the fear of death. I remember before I was converted, thinking about death. And inside of me there was a fear, a deep fear of not knowing what would have happened to me. Man fears the unknown. Death has been a great mystery because we do not know, or we didn't know, what would have happened next. Plus, when men are not right with God, they have no peace in their hearts. So they fear. Isaiah 53, chapter 53, verse 5 to 7 says like this. He, our Lord Jesus Christ, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet opened not his mouth. He is brought as to a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross as a lamb. Just as the Jews in the Old Testament had to sacrifice a lamb for their sins, our Lord Jesus Christ, dying on that cross as a lamb with no resistance, yielded himself, surrendered himself to that terrible death, terrible pain, suffering, agony. He delivered the world from sin, or granted us the power to be delivered from sin. Praise the Lord. But you know, sadly today, still many, from fear of the unknown, do not surrender their lives to God, and thus remain in this bondage of sin and death. For those who will be free from their sins must trust God and God alone. His provision, His sacrifice, the blood of His Son for their deliverance. There's help found in no other. For we are bought with the price, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's a fearful thing to surrender our life to God's control. It's a fearful thing to let go of our dreams and pursuits, to not know what's next, to let go of our desires, to let go of the way we have always done things. It feels safe to depend upon another method, another person, myself. Fears make it so we have to be in control. We cannot trust God. It's like when Peter walked on water, as our Lord Jesus told him, come. And as long as Peter looked to Jesus, he was fine, wasn't he? He kept on walking on the water. But as he felt the wind, and he looked at the wind, and I imagine the waves also, what happened? He feared. He was afraid. But praise the Lord, Peter cried out to Jesus and he said, Lord, help me. And immediately, it says, I love that word, immediately our Lord rescued him. Glory to God. Brothers and sisters, as we behold the Lamb of God this morning, as we look at our Lord Jesus on the cross, God's demonstration of love for you and I and all mankind. There should be great confidence in our hearts that God is ready to receive. He is ready to forgive. He loves us. And it's my conviction this morning that He will immediately help those who cry out to Him out of a sincere heart. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Yes. But all the waves are real at times. The wind feels real. So what are some of the waves in our lives? I'll just mention a few, but you think about it. Examine your own heart this morning as we've been instructed already. What are some waves in your life? Perhaps our past experiences. I have been cheated before. I will not trust anyone else again. I know Jesus tells me I must forgive, but we must have justice. It's not fair to let go. I know I should not love money, but I can't live without it. I must have enough to be safe and my children. I know God needs my money to keep His work going. Really? Is that faith or fear? Examine your own heart this morning. What would others think if I accept that salvation from sin is only through the blood of Jesus Christ? What will my parents or my parents say if I change? What about my things? My truck? My house? I don't know how to make financially if I have to live like this. How would I ever get a job if I have to move, relocate for the sake of Christ and His kingdom? Fear of disappointment, fear of offenses, fear of being hurt, and the list goes on and on and on. To some of us that have been addicted to sin so many years, we may be tempted to think and look at the ways of, I don't know how to live this way. I have always been like this. I don't believe I can ever change. Mom always told me, this is who I am. I have always been an angry man. Oh, I want to be free from my anger, but people keep hurting me. And the waves are many, but the purpose of those waves are all the same, and that is to make you fear, because fear paralyzes, fear stops you. It is said that the roaring of a lion can induce great fear in its prey and paralyze it for a moment because of that intense fear and shock, causing confusion and disorientation, allowing the lion to gain a psychological advantage during that hunt, that pursuit. No wonder the Word of God says that Satan is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Satan thrives in causing people to fear. I would like to invite you this morning, as you feel the wind, the waves, as those fears arise, to behold the Lamb of God. That is the only way to overcome those fears. Behold the Lamb of God. Look on the cross. See our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, offered as a sacrifice because of His love for you personally. See His blood running because of His love for you. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge We have this judgment, this conviction within us, and it constrains us. It means it moves us, it forces us, it compels us to this very thing. It says that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Brothers and sisters, we forgive others because Christ and his love gave of himself so we can be forgiven. We accept sufferings for him, for his sake, because he suffered for us on the cross through love. We surrender our lives to him by giving up our love of money and our attachment for the things of this world, because he surrendered his life out of a love for us. He came from heaven, took the form of a man, suffered, was despised, accepted affliction for us. We risk getting hurt in relationships for his sake, because he was hurt and despised for us. We risk losing our reputation in this world, caring not what man will say about us in light of obedience and honor of Christ, because he surrendered his life and made himself of no reputation for us. We choose to die to our desires, our dreams, our sin, because he died for us. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear had torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear will keep you from doing what faith requires of you." Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of suffering, fear of surrendering all, of trusting Christ, fear of death. But the love of God will empower you and I and all of us as we yield to him in that way. The love of God will empower you to do what faith requires of us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." We also see, as we behold the Lamb of God, that the way to live, the way to truly live in this life, is to die. We're all called by the Lord Jesus himself to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily and follow him. I had a friend. He expressed a great desire to be different. I remember visiting him after I was converted. And with tears, he expressed that he was about to go to trial for attempted murder. And he explained how it happened. And he looked at me and says, "But you know, you've changed. Why can't I change? Why am I not different? What do I need to do?" And as I presented the gospel to him and this great salvation, he could not see. He could not trust that sacrifice. He could not surrender. To give up all, it seems too much, too radical, too extreme. And I feel for him. He was with me a lot before I was converted. He was one that when we went places and I did not know what was going on, I got too drunk to care about passing out, he stood there behind my back, and nobody would touch me as long as he was there. great commitment I saw in his life to a friendship. But he couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't see himself giving up all for the one who died for him. And I prayed many, many prayers for him. But then I had another friend saw me in the streets one day and pled with me to give my phone number. I hadn't been giving my phone number to people. I had purposefully changed my phone number after I was converted to wholly sick after the Lord, to be done with my past life. But here he saw me on the streets and he begged of me, "Let me have your number." And I did. So he called me one night at 3 a.m. and he was wanting deliverance. He was desperate. "I can't live that way. I'm tormented. I need help." So I called the evangelist in our church. We had a brother assigned as an evangelist back then in the Brazilian church. So he went with me. And I remember him as a fighter. He never backed away from a fight. He was not a fearful man, as I remember, as far as the flesh is concerned. But deep inside of him, he was tormented. He was tormented in great fear. And as we prayed over him, he wanted deliverance. He was desperate. Demons were manifested. He was angry, speaking with an angry voice, "Leave me alone." And then out of that, his normal voice would have come out, "Don't help me." And it was an intense battle. And as we prayed over him and plead the blood of Jesus over him, and he put his trust in that blood, the sacrifice of Christ and the cross for him, he was marvelous delivered on that day. It was a powerful testimony of grace and truth that was manifested in his life, the salvation of God. Hebrews 12, chapter verse 2 to 4 says it like this: "Looking unto Jesus," or in other words, beholding the Lamb, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That word "endure" could also be said he put himself under the cross, the will of the Father, despising the shame, or we could say disgrace, despising the disgrace of the cross. And now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endure such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Contradiction, dispute, disobedience, gainsaying, strive, sinners opposing him. And it will happen to all of us, by the way. If it hasn't happened to you, I would encourage you, by the grace of God, to seek God for his leading in your life and continuing to seek to save the lost and plead with sinners to repent and experience that once in your life, hopefully more than once. But it's there because Satan is angry, our adversary, his wrath with the seed of the woman. And you will experience that. And Christians experience that. Jesus experienced that. We will face temptations. We will face difficulties. Look at the apostles, the love that they had for Christ. They labored to save others, even to the point of their own death. Brothers and sisters, we must die. It's not easy on the flesh to deny ourselves, to minister life to others as Jesus did. See, when Jesus called us to deny ourselves and to suffer, he said, "For his sake, or the gospel's sake. Many are willing to suffer today. The world is not at all ignorant of that. Commitment will cause many people to suffer for their own causes. We have in this country patriots, people who are willing to die for their cause. But are we willing to suffer for His sake? Are we willing, out of love for Him, for the souls of men, to suffer, to lose our lives, giving up our time, our plans, for His sake and the gospel? It's not easy on our flesh to separate ourselves from this world and the things of this world, to deny ourselves of the desires that seem so natural and good. It's not easy. But I would like to ask us to consider that that is our cross. That is our cross. We were asked to carry daily. We must choose to surrender to God in order to obey Him. We must yield to His Spirit and not fulfill the desires of our flesh and sin. By God's grace, may we accept our cross for His sake, for the joy that was set before Him and us. Again, I would like to consider with us where our Lord Jesus Christ is, the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain. Today, He's no longer on that cross. Today, the Lamb of God, in the book of Revelation, it says He is in the throne. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, speaking of heaven, it describes it like this. It says, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life," hallelujah, "which bare 12 manners of fruit and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Glory. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Listen to this. The Lamb of God is on the throne. That same one who died on the cross, who was despised of man, now He's on the throne, interceding for you and I, so that we may steadfast, enduring the shame, the disgrace of the cross, the rejection of the world, to continue to persevere in faith. I love when I see, when I read in the book of Acts, the passion that those men have for God, very similar to the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ for us on that cross. And as I read in Acts 14, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas go back to those churches they started, and they confirm the saints to continue in faith. "For with much tribulation we must enter the kingdom." Did you know that? Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus, when the Pharisees accused Him of healing souls on the Sabbath, I marvel with that account. The Lord Jesus said, "My Father has worked since, and so do I." God forbid that we accept the wave of fear and easiness to stop us from ministering the gospel one day of our lives. Brothers and sisters, Christ has given us an example of service, of love for Him. May God help us to look to the cross this morning and accept His suffering and follow the Lamb of God. Thank you for the opportunity. May the Lord bless you all.